Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
The Air Force is being reported by USA Today of all things to omit four words to take out of this oath of enlistment. They are now allowed to take out, "So help me God." Now,
my goodness.
You took an oath. Talk to us about what's an oath of enlistment.
Well, when you go to whatever branch that you want to sign up to, they have something called basically your delayed entry program, where you go and you kind of like learn, you know, just real quick, the beginning preparations before you go to boot camp. And they have a place called MEPS, which is your military entrance processing station. I don't even know how I remember that. But it's basically like your regional main office where all the four branches come. They'll do your medical checks. They'll do your eye checks and everything. And that's pretty much where you're there for a few hours before that big bus comes and takes everybody to their respective areas around the nation to their boot camps. And before that, that's when you do the quote-unquote raise your right hand. And that's when you're basically pledging that your commitment to your four-year agreement to whatever branch or whatever your contract is, and you're saying, "I state your name, you know, do solemnly swear," and you're basically giving the oath that you're pledging your life for those 4 years' commitments or your 8 years or however long to say, "I will serve in the United States Marine Corps and I will fight all enemies, foreign and domestic," and after the whole thing, and they say, "So help me God." Mm-hmm. And that's across the board. Air Force, Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Coast Guard, everyone, the National Guard, if you're even a reservist, everyone is saying this before they leave the MEPS area
They officially become a soldier, officially become part of the military at that point.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember if you signed before or after, but that's a critical step.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the room where you've got like the nice American flag with the yellow tassels. You have each of the seals for each of the other branches, and it's just like, "Are we going to go in? Are we going to go in? Is now the time?" And it's like that's a
defining moment.
Yeah, it's a pivotal moment.
Wow, this has happened in the Air Force. This has just came out. Air Force nixes "So help me God" as a requirement, and they have the option not to. And it's like, man, you're about to go into harm's way. You're about to defend our nation against a serious, you know, any enemy, but serious enemies these days that are not playing around. Oh, we need God. We need God in America. We need God to help us. But before you get discouraged, although you see that happening, remember there's always two narratives always flowing at the same time. And that may seem discouraging because we know that this is not true of all the servicemen. We know many servicemen that love God, that believe "So help me God." But when you make statements like this, because maybe one person or a few other people want to become quote unquote politically correct, you know, it just puts a cast of doubt over the entire branch or the military. Mm-hmm. I want you to watch this video that came to my attention. It was on Facebook, posted by a woman by the name of, I believe, Mary Pardee Baldwin. And this thing has went viral. You're going to see servicemen, I believe they're Marines, we'll let Steve tell us, singing, "These Are the Days of Elijah." You got to see this.
"These are the days of Elijah, to bury the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. I know these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sorrow. Still we are the voice in the desert.
absolutely amazing. It's beautiful. These are Marines worshiping Jesus. I mean, how awesome is that? Steve, talk to how many Marines? You have to see this. I mean, they're waving, they're moving side to side, mm-hmm. brother to brother.
Hoorah, gentlemen. Hoorah.
Oh, talk to us. That's good stuff right there. How many do you think were in this room?
There was probably a good 200-300 guys in there. And I mean, Marine Corps. I mean, I just want to say
for those
that are listening. I don't know if anyone has told you the benefits of what the United States Marine Corps can offer you. that is motivating. That
wow.
is so awesome.
Is that awesome?
You know what's so beautiful when you think about that, and you see these guys. Their arms are around one each other. They're just worshiping God, talking about Elijah, and these are the days of the. I mean, it's just like, and knowing the fact that. We're going to go to war, but it's like you have those connections, you have that relationship, and it's just like, that's a cherishable moment right there. Like, that's powerful.
Is that powerful? How important is that for a serviceman, a servicewoman to have a relationship with God when they go in, you know, they're in the military, they're going to battle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about, even when I was in, there was a chaplain that, on my deployments, and he actually gave me one of my first Bibles, and in that, and I actually still have it, but he gave me something that was called the Marine's Prayer, and it was basically the prayer just like, okay, I'm going out on this mission, God direct my steps, God direct my shots, and Lord, so help me God of all the things that I do, and I'm paraphrasing this, but it's just like, to know where you're going, and to know the fact that God's with you, that God's going to guide you. That's beautiful.
That's amazing. We're going to go to a quick break. When we get back, we're going to continue to talk about the importance of honoring God, the importance of an awesome military, and how, you know, what we can do as civilians to encourage the men and women that serve us every day when they put their lives on the front line to defend our freedom. If we had a chance to see Marines, 200, 300 deep, worshiping the Lord. These are the days of Elijah. I mean, they were singing, swaying side to side. I mean, they had hand movements and everything. They were getting it down. But it was so awesome to see that. And I think about what's happening right now at this very moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, the United States is virtually at war. I mean, I know that the president says we're not at war, but I mean, we're at war. We have military planes that are flying overseas, they're dropping bombs, you know what I mean? I think that would constitute war. We're trying to build this coalition, allegedly, but there's no coalition. No one's joining. There's no coalition. None. And yet the president says we're not going to put any boots on the ground. We're just going to put a couple. And then just recently, one of the top generals opens the door for, you know, saying, yeah, maybe we're probably going to need some boots on the ground. And then former Defense Secretary Robert Gates is saying in an interview, yep, they're going to need some boots on the ground. And then our president comes on the air and says, no, we're not going to put any boots on the ground. Then he comes back, well, maybe it's like, wait a minute.
We're going to get on the same page.
This is confusion.
Yeah.
Who's the author? This is confusion. How do we expect our men and women to go and defend us, to defend freedom? I mean, we don't want ISIS on our borders. And already, I mean, Homeland Security is saying that a day before 9/11, four terrorists were already in the United States. They climbed over the border. There's a huge number. I mean, it was hundreds of thousands that are trying to come in the border every single year. Mm-hmm. And they say that about close to 150,000 have already crossed over people, not necessarily terrorist people, without them knowing, and just all these different things. But you look at it and you're saying, man, what, you know, this is confusion. How do we expect, you know, our men and women to go and defend us if the leadership is just confused? They don't know where we're going. This is war, not war. I mean, what, we need to be behind them. We need to be definitive. We need to take clear action. And we need to eradicate these guys that are cutting Christians' heads off, you know, cutting and butchering and destroying these folks all over the Middle East. And their desire, they said, see you in New York. I mean, their desire is to put an ISIS flag over the White House. Mm-hmm. They've already cut the head off three people. I don't think they're joking. I think this is serious. And we don't want to play around. And our servicemen and our servicewomen deserve clear, definitive strategy when they're putting themselves in harm's way. These are our sons. These are our daughters. While we still have Sergeant Tamarisi still in prison in Mexico, my understanding is that there are veterans right now, two veterans that are walking 300 miles right now to the Washington, D.C., to ask the president to make a phone call to have them released, Sergeant Tamarisi, right now. It's happening right now as we speak. Mm-hmm. And, when you're hearing this broadcast, you know, but at the moment, listen, we want to get behind our servicemen and our servicewomen, tell them how much you appreciate them. And when I see 200 to 300 Marines worshiping, singing, "These are the days of Elijah," like that, it brings great hope, and it should remind us all to pray for them on a consistent basis. I remember that when I was growing up, I had a pastor who served in Vietnam, and he told me, he says, "You know, you heard of this movie called Hamburger Hill?" And I did at the time, and I don't remember watching most of it, and I was young, so no telling what was in it. So we recommend Clear Play. But he says, I was one of the guys in that movie. And he said, "You were?" He says, "Yeah, you know, I was raised a Christian boy and Christian family and all this type of stuff." He's telling me, and he had a walk with the Lord, and he brought his Bible with him. And apparently there's a scene many, many years ago, there's a scene in the movie where they're on this hill, and I think they got to take the hill, and these guys are shooting back and forth, and one of the guys in the movie is a Christian, and he has a Bible with him, and they're like, "No, they don't pick up a gun. You just pray. You just pray. You just pray." And that's what he did. That was him. He was the guy with the Bible, and he prayed, and he says, "That was me." And to think that how much, you know, I've heard other military people say that, you know, there's no atheist in the fox den. You know, everybody wants to...
Foxhole.
Foxhole. Everybody wants to know God, and but we have an opportunity every day to pray for our servicemen that they will know the Lord, that have a personal relationship with Him. We want to support our chaplains in all different places. You'd be surprised when chaplains do amazing, amazing work. You know, the fire department has a chaplain, police department have a chaplain, your military have a chaplain. There's chaplains everywhere, and they a lot of times are right there in the heat of action. You know, they're on the front lines, and they play such an important role. But we want to get behind our military. We want to pray for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you, I mean, I've encountered more than one chaplain who's been traveling, wherever they're going, and I think about how much, you know, seeds were sown into my life from the chaplain before I even knew the Lord, because any time that we'd go out on a mission, God was just, you know, drawing me to Himself. And how many times that man prayed for me, prayed for my team, prayed for the platoon before we went out on a mission. It's like, thank them. They are impacting lives. They are that, you know, you think about in the Bible how God has, you know, established those that are praying for leadership, praying for whoever. And it's like they play a significant role being that voice of prayer when we're continents away.
Yeah, absolutely important. We want to make sure that you continue to do your very best to recognize these brave men and women that serve us each and every day and are willing to go to the front lines and to confront evil so that we wouldn't have to hear at home. We salute you. We honor you. Thank you for all that you do.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.